Okay, our next presentation is from the University of Missouri by Michael Ma, and the title of his presentation is Evaluating High Biomass Sorghum Yields and Nitrogen Use Efficiency in Missouri.
Yeah, thank you. Again, I'm Michael Ma from the University of Missouri. Today, share some brief results with you from a study we conducted a few years ago on looking at high biomass sorghums and how they will work and if they will work in the state of Missouri and the greater Midwest. So just as a presidential candidate might give a State of the Union, I'll try to give a brief state of the Midwest in relation to this topic. So there are greater than 13 billion gallons of ethanol that are produced annually in the United States. Most of that is maize-based, corn-based ethanol. And so the question being, are there opportunities for other crops to come in and supplement that ethanol production? Perhaps sorghum-based lignocellulosic ethanol. But one of the main concerns when we consider the Midwestern agriculture is that nitrogen fertilizer can account for up to 35% of the cost of production. So that's definitely a big question when we consider new crops. And perhaps there's an opportunity for increasing crop efficiency in the use of nitrogen. So recently, in the last 10 years, there's been a lot of work on developing focused sweet and biomass sorghums for the purpose of bioenergy production for ethanol. And perhaps Missouri could be a potential place for that production. We already have a small sorghum production ranked number 8 in the country in the amount of sorghum, most of that being grain. But of note is that in Missouri, there are quite a few acres that have moderate or low corn and soybean yields that could be potential for these alternative crops. So if we were to consider one of these crops, high biomass sorghum, it's been developed main purpose for lignocellulosic ethanol for the biomass production. Many desirable qualities have been reported for it, drought tolerance, the ability to scavenge nutrients, even flood tolerance has been reported. And there's a high energy conversion because of the great biomass production, up to 40 megagrams per hectare. And so quite an impressive crop to see growing in the field, if some of you have seen it, just because of its mass. So could this be a potential crop for Missouri? Well, maybe, because nearby results in the Midwest and even far down into Texas show us some interesting results. Illinois, they reported up to 35 megagrams of dry matter per hectare, ranging using nitrogen anywhere from 50 to 224 kilograms of nitrogen. Oklahoma, not quite as impressive yields, a little bit drier there, 11.5 megagrams of dry matter per hectare, but found a somewhere around 100 kilograms of nitrogen to be an optimal rate. When we look at nitrogen use efficiency for this crop, Texas has reported somewhere around 85 kilograms of dry matter per kilogram of nitrogen can be achieved. And another interesting point is that this plant has a high stem to leaf ratio, which can contribute to a high nitrogen use efficiency. Unfortunately, in the Midwest, we do not know a lot of answers to these questions, basic agronomic questions when it comes to optimum fertilization for this high biomass sorghum. What about expected yields even? Limited results have been reported. And how about stresses and how those influence yields? And of course, general G by E interactions. And so today, we'll focus on nitrogen and nitrogen rate response and how that may look. So we know that in the crop year, we can lose up to 50% of nitrogen that's been applied. It could be not available for crop production. And there could be two keys to increasing these yields based on our nitrogen application. One is to increase nitrogen recovery efficiency, right? That's the amount of nitrogen that the plant actually is able to take up. And then as well to increase nitrogen use efficiency, which for this purpose will consider the amount of nitrogen that the plant takes up and then is able to turn into yield. So biomass sorghum is likely to be an efficient nitrogen user, but we just don't know. So this study was to begin to look at that in our context. Now, our program previously with sweet sorghum, we've done research and found that optimum yields somewhere between 112 to 168 kilograms of nitrogen produce the best yields. and that nitrogen use efficiency and recovery efficiencies are best at low nitrogen rates, up to about 112 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. Basic experiment, we applied five nitrogen rates from 0 to 224 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare on two varieties of high biomass sorghum released through Blade Energy, developed through Texas A&M. These two varieties, ES5200 and 5201, and then they were put into a randomized complete block design with a split plot factorial. We measured dry matter, the above ground biomass, and then we used a conversion factor to estimate ethanol, lignocellulosic ethanol from the biomass, calculated the total nitrogen within the plant material, and then used that to calculate recovery and use efficiencies. The environment spanned 2 years for this study, and I just want to point out to you of note here, you see in the top figure there in central Missouri, the 2 years are quite a bit different as far as minimum maximums, and then you have the green line which goes across those that show the 30-year means. So follow that red arrow that's at the top of the figure, and you will see that in 2011, the maximum temperature in July and some of the other months were tended to be a few degrees greater than in the previous year of 2010. And so we'll see how that affects our results in a few seconds. Now, just of note here in the bottom figure, we look at precipitation, and we see that between the 2 years, there's quite a bit of difference. Indeed, a 40% decrease in the second year of production in rainfall in the cropping season. How will that affect our yields? Looking at dry matter, again, the above ground biomass that we harvested from the plant material, you see a great difference between the 2 years, ranging from anywhere from 7 to 21 megagrams per hectare across the 2 years. But indeed, in 2011, the nitrogen rate response, as you see it with the nitrogen rates listed across the bottom of the figure, the rate response was much delayed in 2011, meaning here that it took up to 168 kilograms of nitrogen to actually induce a response different from the control of no nitrogen applied in that year. While in 2010, the nitrogen rate response was much earlier in the application at 56 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And so perhaps reduced rainfall in 2011 contributed to that greater than 40% reduction in yields. Looking at stem-leaf dry matter ratio, remember that can contribute to nitrogen use efficiency. We see here the years are quite a bit different, but of note is that the leaf dry matter was the same in both the years. They were similar, but in 2011, the reduced stem-leaf dry matter ratio can be contributed to the reduced stem accumulation that occurred in that year, especially in later growth stages of the plant. And so indeed in 2010, it was up to 1.7 times greater than that year in the ratio. So then we used a conversion factor, estimating that from 311 liters of ethanol per megagram of dry matter, we calculated the lignocellulosic ethanol. And you see that this, of course, follows the dry matter production. It's a direct conversion. And we see here that nitrogen rate response, again in 2010, at 56 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, an early response in the production, while 2011, much delayed response, needed more nitrogen to incur anything different from no nitrogen applied, up to even the greatest nitrogen rate that we applied in the study. So then looking at actual plant content of or plant nitrogen content, we measured, and we see that actually there's very similar contents across the 2 years. Now, how could that be? Well, remember we had reduced dry matter production in 2011, and so that led to an increased nitrogen concentration in the plant material that led to these similar results. And you can see here in the, where the yellow A is listed as the letter of significance on the across the bars, we see that the rate response was similar in the 2 years, which is actually quite interesting. Calculating nitrogen recovery efficiency, we see that, as expected, with increased nitrogen application in 2010, we see reduced recovery efficiency. The plant was not able to take it up into the plant material based on the fertilizer applied. But in 2011, we see no differences across the nitrogen rates above 56 kilograms per hectare. And so this greater nitrogen recovery efficiency we see happens at the low nitrogen rate in a normal year, which we consider as 2010. Then we calculate nitrogen use efficiency, and interesting here, I've highlighted across this figure, across this table, two red lines for you to specifically look at. And we have here nitrogen use efficiency of the dry matter on the left and the ethanol on the right. And you can see here similar results across both years and in both parameters for dry matter and ethanol, that at 56 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, we see that increase, we see that decrease in the nitrogen use efficiency, that difference from no nitrogen applied. But interesting is that where we have that red line, at the higher nitrogen rates, we do not see any significant decreases beyond that in the nitrogen use efficiencies. So perhaps this could indicate that there may not be any deleterious effect at increased nitrogen rates on the actual use efficiencies in these crops. So make some broad conclusions here from the study. The greatest yields range anywhere from 56 to 168 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare across the study. We have the greatest nitrogen removal at the 112 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, but that's generally in that what we would consider a normal year in 2010. Now, nitrogen recovery efficiency and use efficiencies drop as expected at higher nitrogen rates, but interestingly, as I just mentioned, the use efficiency did not decrease beyond that initial drop significantly in use efficiencies. So for that reason, we could suggest that to combine optimum yields and to consider use efficiencies, we can make the suggestion that anywhere from 56 to 112 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare would be a satisfactory nitrogen application rate in Missouri. Of course, considering that nitrogen does cost, and so by trying to minimize the production costs and the time and effort in application of nitrogen, we can minimize that input. Of course, it's important to note that of the 2 years, 1 year was extremely different from the other in the biomass accumulation because of the reduced rainfall, we estimate. And so overall, generally, we would suggest that high biomass sorghum can be a crop that is suitable for the production in Missouri, considering in an average year, decent yields can be achieved. So thank you. Questions? Yes? Sorry, please repeat. Great question. This is a silt loam, but where we did the production, and it has a hard clay pan below the surface, and so unfortunately we did not measure the actual nitrates or ammonia in the soil. We've done that in previous studies, more recent, but unfortunately I can't give you a definitive answer on that. Yes, sir.
It's expected that with climate change, the springs are going to get wetter and the summers are going to get drier. How would that affect the performance of this crop?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question, considering climate change and how that would impact the use of this crop. I would say that these crops were developed in a more southerly climate in Texas, these genotypes specifically. We have experimented and put in trials some other varieties that I think have performed better under these reduced rainfall, especially dry and late in the season. And so I would say that these could be a potential, and these are commercially available, which makes it easy for someone to get seed and to use it. But definitely, I would say that it's not so much the idea of reduced rainfall overall, but I think it's when the rain comes that's important. And so those late season droughts are what we need to be considerate of. And so maybe that affects timing of planting and timing of harvesting, and perhaps irrigation is something that should be considered, even though sorghum is not generally a crop that people put a lot of inputs in. But maybe in a bioenergy system, that would have value.
Okay, let's thank our speaker one more time.